I don't mean unhealthy.
No, I haven't been to the beach in a couple of weeks now. I wasn't there this week. I wasn't there last weekend. I was there 2 weeks ago. Now, I'm half Italian, so I do tan very easily. I've gone out in the month of April. Like, you know, like the end of April, you get that 180-degree day. Oh, like, yeah. Hey! I read every day. I finish a book in no time. And I'm out on my back deck with a cup of coffee at, like, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I'll just read for an hour. That's it. And I remember a time in April, I did that. And in fact, it wasn't even in full hours, like maybe 40 minutes. And I walk in. My wife said to me one time, she goes, where did you go? And I go, what are you talking about? You saw me. I was right in the back. She'd just come home from work. I go, I was on the back deck reading. She goes, Gary, go look at yourself in the mirror right now. I'm like, I thought something was hanging from my nose. I'm like, wow. Freezer. Yeah.
Gary, do one of these, you know? Yeah.
I go in there, and she goes, you're tan. Not even just tan, you're dark. And I go, oh, my goodness, yeah, I guess I just tan very easily. But I haven't been to the beach in two weeks.
Well, so. What I would always say, you know, when I was a street reporter for all those many years, is you get what's called inadvertent sun, where you're just out there. And, you know, you're, like you're saying, you're out there at that time of the day and you don't think about, or you forget to put the sunblock on. Or in my case, I did the live shot at noon, couldn't take the makeup off fast enough, then forgot to reapply the sunblock.
Well, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And I get, you know, the farmer's tan?
Oh, yeah. And the golfer's tan.
Yeah,
that's what I get.
Right, okay.
Inadvertent sun.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
All right, so listen, I want to get right into this because I didn't forget there, Mr. Best Off. A month ago, you gave us quite a tease. I'm not gonna. You didn't upset me because I consider you a friend. So
yes,
you know,
right,
but you know, it was the tease was a little more than the typical tease that you do every month at the end of our segment. You were just, I can't even go into this. I got a big story. It's gonna come next month. It's gonna break next month. Oh my goodness, Gary, this is gonna. I'm like, well, give me something more. I can't even do that. Okay, so Len, here we are a month later. I'm not letting you off easy. You've got quite, and I know what it is now. So I'm not going to take away your thunder. I'm gonna give it off to you.
Oh, yeah.
But I've got a ton of questions here for you. So go ahead, tell us what this big story that you've been working on is that you couldn't even divulge a hint of a teaser last month. What is it?
Well, we're in a competitive journalism market,
we are.
So you know we had to keep the wraps on this. But coming up on August 12th at 7 o'clock on NBC and simulcast. Also on our streaming channel, we're going to be doing Traces of Doubt, The Forensics of Dr. Henry Lee. You probably know who he is.
He's a forensic pathologist.
He is a forensic scientist.
Okay.
And he's arguably one of the most famous criminalists in the world.
It was the OJ trial. Remember he was in that?
Yeah.
That's where he rose to prominence nationally and internationally.
Right.
And we chart his whole rise. And one of the things that happened during that is that some questions emerged here and there. There were few and far between, frankly. But what happened in the last year or so when they had this overturned conviction with these two men that spent over 30 years or roughly 30 years in prison each, there was a settlement with the state this year for $25.2 million. And that got us starting to discuss.
Okay. Because my first question was going to be, this is a guy that's been out of the spotlight for a while. He's long since retired, right?
Yes and no. He's still out there.
You never hear his name anymore. I don't.
Not as much, certainly. He's not practicing forensic science in terms of, he's not investigating cases anymore. But he's the world over. He is opening museums in China that are, you know, memorializing him and his work and his career. He's making speeches all over the world. He's still talking to schools all the time, to forensic science students.
What precipitated this? I mean, how do you pluck this idea? He doesn't even cross my mind. So is it the overturning of the 30-year sentence and the $25.5 million dollar settlement?
Yes, it is. Because we have this one case where now the state of Connecticut has settled for $25.2 million. It's not done. There's also a lawsuit against the town of New Milford that still is going on, and that could end up being a substantial settlement as well. These are some of the people that investigated these two young men that allegedly murdered somebody. And again, I don't want to get too much into the weeds of this. I want you
to watch it. That's exactly it. How long have you been working on this project?
We, as a team, we have been working on this for close to a year.
Wow. And how you say as a team, how many people at NBC Connecticut are working on this? Who else is the team?
Okay, the person you would know who's on TV is my partner in crime, as we say, but all joking aside, Caitlin Burchill. She is our consumer investigative reporter. She's been doing that for 2+ years now. She's outstanding. Okay. She also does investigations for the NBC Connecticut Investigates Unit as well. And she's been working on this. Then we have 3 photographers. We have a video content editor and our executive producer and another producer. So 2 producers, 3 photographers, a video content editor. Is my math good? Yeah. That's 8 people.
Oh. All right. So Dr. Henry Lee had a long public career. Did this make some of the reporting harder or easier? I mean, he was beloved.
Right.
Connecticut's own, you know.
Gary, that's a great question. It was both. You know, I'm lucky, I guess, in that I'm a little older, and so I've really seen a good chunk of his career arc. His career arc is actually 50 years. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. So he's been around a long time. And yes, he's revered in our state by many people. You know, you think, what puts our state on the map? Obviously, it's UConn basketball. Some people might say it's Fairfield County and the Gold Coast. But people know Dr. Henry Lee, and he really has, you know, burnished our state's reputation across the world with his introduction of science, forensic science. Like, one of the things we talk about is that before Dr. Lee came along, a lot of the investigatory techniques when it came to forensics or police investigations was just interrogation. There wasn't that much science. DNA really wasn't a thing yet. And Dr. Lee was one of the people that innovated a lot of things. Like, you've heard of rape kits. He was one of the ones that made it very standardized, because before it was not. And I don't want to get into the weeds of it, but you know, he was revered, and that is revered by many, and that made it difficult in some ways. But then the other thing is, yes, he's got a long career arc, a long body of work. And one of the things I will tell you you're going to find in this documentary is that we have tremendous amounts of file tape. He had a very public career. And so you're going to see video going back 20 and 30 years that was on NBC Connecticut, that our photographers and our producers dug through the archives for weeks and weeks and weeks and categorized this all in spreadsheets to try to look and see what we actually have. And so in many cases, you're going to see the history play out.
What are some of the cases that you can discuss now?
One of the big ones is the Birch and Henning case, Ricky Birch and Sean Henning. This is the one where the convictions were vacated a few years ago. And that's the one with the big settlement. My colleague, Caitlin Burchill, has an exclusive interview with Ricky Birch. I have an exclusive interview with Sean Henning. That's all in there. There is a case that is a little bit off the beaten path that hasn't been talked a lot about here, but it's had national exposure, the Kerry Myers case down in Louisiana, which is a fascinating story, and there's still questions on who did the murder, and Dr. Lee was involved in that case in some consulting. There's, of course, the O.J. case. We talk about that just a little. Mm-hmm. We also talk about the Phil Spector case. You may remember that.
Right, yeah.
That's a big one in many ways, because it was one of the first times that Dr. Lee was ever questioned. There are things in that case you're going to see in our documentary where people began to ask some questions about his work. There are also 2 other cases in Connecticut, the Weinberg and Hassan cases, where in one case the sentence was commuted and in another, or I believe it was time served he was given. But basically their sentences were shortened. And in both these cases, Dr. Lee was involved. And I will also tell you, we talked about it off record, there is a cameo from the Talk of Connecticut in this piece.
Ah, yes. All right, so this was NBC Connecticut's first investigative documentary. So what were some of the challenges of that?
Oof. A lot, frankly, because we're still an investigative unit, and Caitlin Burchill is on usually 3 to 5 times per week. I'm on usually at least once a week with the investigative load we have, and then we have our ratings periods where we're still working on bigger pieces that, you know, I'm always on your program talking about.
I got to take a break in less than a minute, and I want to plug this. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about something completely different. Your opinion.
Who wants my opinion?
I want your opinion. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Henry Lee, was he a fraud?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. The other question I had is, what do you want to be the takeaway that the viewer has on this docuseries on Dr. Henry Lee?
Oof. He has a long career.
We knew that, though.
That people need to look at it closely and judge for themselves. But people really need to look at his whole career.
Was he fair?
Hard to say. I think that's a personal judgment, frankly, when you see this piece. You're going to see a lot here, and it will leave you conflicted, I think.
So, in other words, it wasn't all as rosy as it was portrayed during that time, that period
of
time.
Yeah, it may have been. You know, what you're going to see in this piece is there was a whirlwind of publicity around Dr. Lee for literally decades. And some could argue there still is.
Okay. Henry Lee, Traces of Doubt, next Monday. That's August 12th, 7 p.m., NBC Connecticut, and simulcast on their streaming channel. We got to take a short break. It's 60 seconds long. When we come back, I want to talk motorcycles here in the state of Connecticut. More with Len Bestoff right after this.
When shopping for appliances, Ferraris will be the only stop you'll need to make. Summer's here, and it's time to get your new grill or air conditioner. Ferraris Appliance has all the big-name brands, including Weber and Napoleon Grills, at the price you can afford. And they install and service everything they sell. Enough with the pushy salespeople and impersonal customer service at those big box stores. Head to Ferraris Appliance in Newington or Naugatuck and discover why people from all over choose them over everyone else. Online at FerrarisAppliance.com.
The Talk of Connecticut is online and on your radio with breaking news and stimulating talk. Gary Byron wakes you up 6 till 10. Mike Gallagher exposes the liars and leakers. If you're thinking about it, he's talking about it. Dan Bongino from noon to 3. And then Sebastian Gorka drives you home with a radio show that makes you think. The Talk of Connecticut, AM 1360 and 103.3 Hartford, and AM 610 and FM 104.5 Litchfield. WDRC, celebrating 100 years. A smarter way to start the day. Gary Byron and the Talk of Connecticut. Listen without a subscription on the Talk of Connecticut free listening app.
25 minutes after the hour of 8, our guest, as you would imagine, if it's the 8 o'clock hour and it's the first Friday of the month, is our good friend and yours. He is the chief investigative reporter over at NBC Connecticut. That's Len Bestoff. Okay, so Connecticut falls in the top 5 deadliest states for motorcycle riders. This is according to the National Highway Travel Safety Administration. Now, that data shows that 19% of all fatalities in the state were motorcyclists. This is in 2022, the most recent year of available statistics. Okay, so, Len, why? We're a small state. What is it about Connecticut motorcyclists posing such a danger and controversy that surrounds it?
Well,
what is it?
You know, a lot of times when you think about motorcyclists, our most frequent interaction with them is on the highway when sometimes they're whizzing by us. Sometimes they're just, you know, riding
and bypassing the traffic that we all have no choice but to sit in. Yes.
Yeah, and sometimes that's legal, sometimes it's not. We've had some very interesting discussions in our newsroom about what's called lane splitting and the legality of it, but we're not going to get too deep into that. When it comes to Connecticut, there are several things going on in our state versus other states. Frankly, one of them is we have some of the highest incidences of alcohol-related crashes. There was some new data that came out this week about it. You and I have talked quite a bit on this program about cannabis as well. The jury is still out on that. I have no doubt that we're going to get some data that's going to show what you think it's going to show. All you got to do is talk to young people.
Well, I mean, and to that point, and I don't want to interrupt you. I know, yeah. but look, does it have everything to do with? No, I mean, people are tired. No. They're driving drunk, and COVID has to do with the yep. rise of alcoholism. I'll factor all that in.
Yep,
but don't
more.
For 1 minute tell me it's zero. Cannabis has 0%.
Oh, I'm not.
Absolutely okay,
not.
Good. I was going to say,
of course not.
Even if it's a low number, I'd accept a low number.
I'm not even saying it's a low number. I'm saying the jury's still out.
Okay.
I think we're going to see some stuff there. I think the question's going to be, how do you really geofence it in terms of when it was used? But anyway, we're getting a little off. I want to get back to this. As far as motorcycles go, we have 37 riders who've died just this year alone. We are near record pace.
Why?
We just had two this week in the last day or two. We had one, I believe, in Meriden, excuse me.
Meriden, yeah.
And then there was a moped rider
that
got killed in Vernon,
yeah.
just down the road from us. And it's not just the riders of the motorcycles. I mean, we've had this series, and this is part of the series, called Reckless on Our Roads. We've been doing this for over a year. And it's also other drivers, both they're drinking, they're driving recklessly. We portray a woman in this piece whose 20-year-old son was killed by a woman who drove to the left. She said she got blinded by sun and she plowed into three motorcycle riders. You know, these things happen a lot. They're happening a lot right now. There's another factor we learned. Four of the motorcycle deaths we had this year happened in February.
Who the hell's riding a motorcycle in February?
Well, think of how warm it was this year, last year.
But still, there's salt and sand on the road.
But people go. And, you know, like, here's the thing. I'm not a rider, but we've talked to riders. And, like, you know, when you talked about this earlier. You get that one warm day in February. You want to get the bike out.
But, Len, there's a difference between sitting out on your deck reading a book and having a cup of coffee and taking the motorcycle out while the streets are still... Look, it could be a nice day. That doesn't mean the snow is completely gone or the ice is completely gone or that there's not salt and sand on the road.
Yeah.
I have a minute left. I'm going to give it all to you, though. Go ahead.
But yeah, people, I mean, they had four deaths this year.
When is this
in February?
When is this? When is this?
The motorcycles, this aired on Tuesday night after the Olympics, but you can find it on our app, on NBCConnecticut.com, all over the place.
I missed it.
And also, if you search on our website for Reckless on Our Roads, we're working on getting a full gallery of all the dozen or so stories.
I want to see the Henry Lee thing on next week.
You got it. We're going to talk about the next time we come
on. All right,
on,
so too. I got 10 seconds.
Hit me.
Give me a teaser for next month. Or that you're working on. Come on, you're taking away.
More Henry Lee.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Len, I'm getting back to you. All right, we're coming back to open phones. Our lines are open. Thanks, Len. Talk to you next month.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Three Americans currently at Brooke Army.